It is the riot on Radio U podcasting.
So in this podcast, it features John Cooper from Skillet. It was really nice to catch up with him. Yeah. So John is in this one. So look forward.
Hey, I'll also tell you, like, if you want to, I didn't put it on the Riot page. I put it on the Radio U page. You can find it, facebook.com/Radio U. Search Radio U on Facebook, however you do it. You will see some special time we spent with John Cooper a few years ago.
A classic YouTube video from John Cooper.
It's a throwback Wednesday.
It is.
I know it's not exactly the same. Way back Wednesday.
Yeah, that's what you can do.
Way back Wednesday is better than Winning Joke Wednesday, which we were going to do, but we put the kibosh on it. So that's in the podcast. We've also got the story behind those Chevy commercials that annoy me to no end. We don't know if it's real. I don't know if it's real, but there's a James Bond story. One of the actors that played James Bond has died yesterday. And man, this story from this guy that
I
read.
You love this story.
You know what? I do love it because I feel like it's the kind of thing that for whatever reason,
if you were a kid,
it made me feel like I was a kid. When I read it, I was like, man, if you were a kid, that would be like the coolest thing ever.
Well, it's been making its rounds, but we'll tell you the story in case you haven't heard it, even though it does reek of like...
not realness.
Yeah, of like the thing that just makes it around Facebook, and you're like, you know this is not true, right?
You know that's fake, but...
fake news.
It's fake news. Nikki and I are spreading fake news. We're so doing it. The other thing in the podcast, and there's Chuck E. Cheese, like French fries... other guns, whatever. But the other thing that's in it that I still love, I think maybe the most, is the Baywatch fans. And you'll hear about it, but like, oh man.
It's something special.
The internet, right? I mean, come on. The internet. So enjoy the podcast. Have a great day.
Bye.
The Riot talks about wanting a day off, but when do we get a day off from them?
Boo! You suck at this.
The worst of the riot on Radio U.
Nikki, yes. I feel like I want to salute somebody this morning.
You do?
Roger Moore, James Bond. And you're like, where's the James Bond theme? No, this man was British.
Sure.
He deserves a little more than just that. Did Eric show you the story about him yesterday that he found on Twitter?
I did not see that.
It's so good. Okay, so Roger Moore was the guy that played James Bond in the 70s and 80s,
okay.
Right?
Did he play anything else that you would know him by besides James Bond?
He was on Alias on ABC for a while. Nobody knows that, but I'm telling you right now, that was a great show, and he had a fantastic character on Alias for a little while. But he was the dude that played James Bond, and I realized, well, lots of people play James Bond. Well, let me tell you something. This guy's story is so great. So there was a guy, his name was Mike, and he said that when he was little, he was 8 years old in 1983, and he was at an airport with his grandpa, and he saw Roger Moore, who at 8 years old, he just thought was James Bond. And so he tells his grandpa about it, and his grandpa goes and get an autograph. And so he gets the autograph back, and he's really upset because... the guy has signed it Roger Moore, and he tells his grandpa...
oh, and not James Bond.
He was like, he did it wrong, Grandpa. He did it wrong. His name's not Roger Moore. So he ended up going over. His grandpa went and told him. And so Roger Moore beckons him over and whispers in his ear, and he says, he's like, you know, basically, I can't let anybody know who I am, which is why I signed your thing as Roger Moore. So 20 years later, he works on a movie set. He runs into Roger Moore, and he tells him, like... you know, hey, do you remember this time? Blah, blah, blah. And the guy was like, ha, 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 that's really great. You know, I don't remember it, but I'm really glad you got to meet James Bond. And then he said at the very end of the day, he came over and whispered in his ear and said, of course I remember it, but the cameramen might be working for Blofeld.
So I can't blow it.
And he just walks off.
Oh, how clever. Even though, you know, like that was Roger Moore's thing, probably.
Just the fact that he did it. He said when he was 8 and then later when he was almost 30, he said he was just as excited each time that Roger Moore told him that.
Are we sure this is true? This isn't some like urban legend about him?
I have absolutely no way
that
to prove it's true.
Grandparents pass around and you're doing it?
I have no way. A guy named, Mike, he's the one that actually posted it, but it was a repost from a guy named Mark Haynes. And it's been, if it's a lie, it's been retweeted.
It's a happy one. Yeah, like, it's fine.
It's getting passed around a lot. Like, a lot of people are talking about it. And I just want you to know, it made me smile ear Aww. To ear this morning. Because, dude, come on. You're 8 years old. You think that guy, like, that's the super spy, James Bond.
And
blah,
he
blah.
Plays
and
with
he
it.
And he totally plays into yeah. it. Dude, that's fantastic.
Well, that was definitely sad to hear Roger Moore passing away.
Yeah, so The Spy Who Loved Me. I'm telling you, Nikki, when that guy, and it's a real stunt, when he skis off that mountain and then he hits his parachute and it's a Union Jack, which, you know, is the British flag. I watched that alone in my room. I'd never seen it. I cheered all by myself.
Just little Obie.
Just like, what? Did you see that? Oh, of course, boy. The movie was like 40 years old by the time I saw it. But
that's okay. You still
matter.
Enjoyed it.
It was still awesome. At least that time.
The Ryan has a problem with authority.
It's a little rule. Maybe you're not familiar with it. Nobody tells me what to do, ever.
There is, again, a great write-up in The Consumerist. We've mentioned them a couple of times in the last couple of weeks, but they have a large interview, I guess it is, in which they talk to one of the people that end up, oh, okay, no, wait, no, the AV Club. The Consumerist is writing this up, but the AV Club got the interview.
Yeah.
And so what it is, you know those Chevy ads where those people walk in a room and, like, all the awards are scrolling by? Did you know those are all won by Chevy? And people are stupid excited.
And that's like, is that the one where the doors open and they show, like, well, we've won this the last year and then
yes.
the last 2 years, and then there's more cars and more cars and more cars.
Exactly that. And they're so annoying. Eric mm-hmm. found that really funny video of the guy just being like, I don't care. Yes.
No, the one who, like, superimposed himself into
yes.
the commercial.
Yeah. That's a great video. I don't remember what that one is. But they found a guy who was a part of it, and he said that he's been doing paid market research for years, which he says is basically you end up in a room where you fill out a questionnaire and you make like $150.
That's it?
He said, I mean, you're basically just getting paid to go in and answer questions.
Yeah.
But he said he showed up for the Chevy one, had no idea what it was for. He said you kept going into a series of rooms, sometimes answering questions, sometimes not. And then he said without any preparation or whatever, they just walk you into this room three or four at a time. And he said it's this
sounds like a haunted house without it being quite haunted.
Well, he said it was just really weird because he said nobody really gave you instructions and nobody really talked to you. And I love, man, the way he talked about it, like, they made him wait forever. They paid him $250, or was it 200? Somewhere in the neighborhood. And he said that was really good money for that.
So he's
that
basically,
you wouldn't normally get quite that much.
This is like getting camera time as an extra, like a lot of camera time.
But you didn't know that's what you were doing.
Yeah, but I think that helped because they really wanted a response back from the person. And so that's why they probably kept them in the dark like that.
But what he said was the weird, like the really, really weird part about it was you went into this room and he said you could see cameras. And it was unbelievably well lit. He's like, but there was just this guy with a huge smile on his face. And this is what I thought was hysterical. He said these people just out of nowhere became spokesmodels. They just started talking and talking about how much they love the car. And he said that there was this weird pressure. And he said nobody said anything.
Sure.
And nobody made you do anything. He said, but he, more than anything, did not want to disappoint the smiling man in the middle.
Weird.
He said he didn't understand it, but like the idea that he would say something that disappointed that man
yeah.
was just like, he
it's
just
so
didn't want to do that.
It's so psychological. It's so crazy, like a mind game.
There has to be something to it, because hearing him describe it, and you're just like, man.
And those companies, the advertising, they know what they're doing.
Oh, they absolutely know what they're doing.
They know how to get that response.
And he talked about it, like, they actually don't give you a chance to look at the awards. So, like, they're like, did you know that Chevy got all these awards? And he said it's literally like, you don't know. Like,
you
don't actually.
It.
He said if people seem excited, he's like, in reality, you're shocked because you don't know what the heck they're showing you. You don't know what's going on. Hilarious.
That is a fascinating here.
It is. And you know what? I hate those things. Like, they're in front of, here's what I love. They've started doing it at movie theaters, at least the one I go to. You know how they play commercials at the beginning?
Yeah.
Well, now they've started dimming the lights 5 to 10 minutes beforehand. That right there is a cue to you that's like, all right, I'm not supposed to be talking, but they're just showing the commercials. I even heard someone get mad at somebody else for having their phone out, and they actually said, they're like, these are commercials. Like, they're not even movie trailers at that point. You got your phone out during the commercials. Did you know the J.D. Powers and Associates, blah, blah, blah? And screw you, smiling man. I don't want to hear about your Chevy.
But you can't disappoint him.
If I disappoint him, how will I go on?
You'd be afraid you wouldn't get out alive.
He's watching.
Starting your day with the worst of the riot is a great idea because it's guaranteed to get better from here. It's the Riot on Radio U.
I hear something I don't get. And I, you know what? You may have heard me say this before, but it's cyclical. Like, I keep coming back to it. I'm terribly cynical. And I'm a bit of a realist, but sometimes, not all the time. All right, but every once in a while, I dip my toes into just genuine pessimism.
Oh, yeah, that just, it's every so often.
An underlying belief that it's not going to work out.
But so many people assume, since you're more of a realist, that you're more of a pessimist. But
no,
it's not the same.
Not always. The problem, this is the problem. I've seen too much. I've seen too much.
You've seen and know too much.
Yeah, like, you get to a point where you're like, I've seen too much, I know too much.
And that makes it all sad.
It does. It makes when someone comes along and they're like, but we can do it. And on the inside, no. You're like, oh, you can't. And the fact that you believe you can actually hurts my heart even more just to see you believing in it.
It seems like it takes away the, not rose-colored glasses, but like the innocence about it day to day.
Here's the thing that's tough for me, though, is that, and this is the part I don't understand. I guess it's my own weakness, it's my own limitedness, is that God has seen more. God has seen everything. God is not cynical. God is not hard on people. God believes with people, believes in people, invests in people, loves people, even me. God has seen me at my best and has seen me at my worst. The funny thing is, sometimes I was at my worst and didn't even know it at the time. Like, God has seen all of that. And rather than just being like, well, here he comes. We all know what we're in for now. What a, oh boy. Okay. This time it's going to be different, right? No, like, God really does believe in you. He believes in me. And God is rooting for us. And God knows the truth. He knows who we are. He sees everything. And yet he still loves us and still wants the best for us. And I want you to know something else, is that if you often are like me, if you struggle with, you know, a little realism, a little cynicism, sometimes just straight up unabashed pessimism, I want you to know that God can help you. I actually need help with that. That's a legit thing where if you're not careful, it can just poison your whole freaking life. Like, it absolutely will. But God wants to help you see something better, do something better, be better. But I mean, again, it's something I need help with, and God does help me with that. If you're like me, or worse or better, I don't know, I want you to know that wherever you're at and whatever you've got going on, God does love you and he does want to help you. Just ask him for some help. Say, Jesus, I need that. It all looks bleak to me. Help me to see the world the way you do. Help me to love people like you do. Help me to live the way you do. And Jesus wants to be a part of your life. Talk to him. You know, you got something you're hurt over, something's got you down, whatever. Spend some time talking to God today. Ask him for some help. And a lot of times he's got a better outcome than you think is even possible.
The Riot.
Pushing people's buttons to get a reaction can actually be very good for society.
Radio U.
Let's talk about how The Rock, like, is starting to look like not a human being anymore. I'm looking at this photo of him from Baywatch, and like, his deltoids, honest to goodness, like, it looks like he's wearing a cape. Those are just his muscles.
Well, like, first, though, it's a picture. And remember, even guys' photos get slightly photoshopped. But I think in his case, he does have some things because he's pretty strong.
Like, Zac Efron, still, he looks big, but he looks like a person. The Rock looks like something else, like, sure, a genetically engineered super beast. Like, he's Bane, but he doesn't have to wear a mask or anything. He just is that person. It's crazy. But that being said, here's an article of a lot of backlash from fans of Baywatch that are unhappy with the movie. How the movie feels exploitive. And
I'm sorry, of what movie?
Baywatch.
But I thought it always was.
And how they feel like it's very unfaithful and is not a fair representation of Baywatch or Baywatch fandom.
Are we talking about the same Baywatch show from like forever ago?
Well, that's the part I don't understand. And I shouldn't be surprised. I shouldn't be surprised, because whatever you can come up with, anything that you can think of, On the internet right now, there's a subreddit of people that are faithful fans that take it incredibly seriously. And they have no sense of humor about themselves, by the way.
Whatever. What humor about it or the thing that they love so much.
Yeah, like there's no wink, there's no nudge. Like they are like not cracking a smile. It is a serious business, whatever the heck this thing is that to them is serious business.
And for these people, it happens to be Baywatch.
It's Baywatch, Nikki. Like, what in the heck?
I don't know.
How could you? I guess because I'm a part of it, I understand when people are like, you know, Spider-Man didn't really wear that costume in this era of his career. But I think it's dumb, but I get it.
But I think you know when to take things seriously and when to realize that maybe you don't take them as seriously. And some people, I think, forget that.
Yeah, Baywatch. So I didn't know this. Did you know that Baywatch originally aired on NBC?
I did not.
From 1989 to 1990.
I don't think I've ever seen an episode of Baywatch.
No.
Because I think we've only seen clips.
I've only seen people making fun of it.
Yeah.
So I've never seen the actual show.
I don't even know the original product.
Well, check this out. I'm going to edumacate you. You ready? So, ran from 89 to 90 in first run, on NBC. Then got canceled. From 91 to 2001, it ran in syndication.
Yeah.
So 11 seasons of Baywatch. And there was a spinoff show, Nikki, and that was Baywatch Nights. Baywatch Nights ran for, I'm looking, I don't know how long. But did you know internationally, it was not known as Baywatch, it was known as Baywatch Hawaii.
Mm.
So, but if you were a serious fan, Nikki, you would know that.
Yeah.
And you'd be very offended by the upcoming Baywatch film.
All I remember for Baywatch is the one guy who was the actor who then was drinking a lot and it was like a hamburger
and
video.
The hamburger thing. Yep. David Hasselhoff.
That's all I
drunk
know.
Drunk hamburger.
That's it. Because then I keep thinking, oh, hamburger sounds pretty good. That's just what I remember.
You know what, Nikki? I'm offended by you not taking Baywatch seriously.
Yeah, sorry.
Take Baywatch seriously, Nikki.
But doesn't a hamburger sound good? And the ocean?
It always sounds good.
Recycling paper is like planting a tree. Recycling the riot is like burning down the rainforest.
We ain't gonna be in no fire, not today.
It's the worst of the riot on Radio U.
It's hard not to buy that new 55-inch jam board that Google released yesterday. They've been talking about it, but it's available now. And for the low, low price of $5,000, you can have a 55-inch Android tablet.
That's a jam board?
That's basically what it is. And I love how they just keep showing, like, when you look at it, you don't see people at me holding it on their lap, watching TV on it. That's what I don't understand.
They're calling it a whiteboard, so it's basically like something that would be more at your workplace.
Yeah, that's
not necessarily for home use, for home entertainment use.
Well, that's what I don't get, is like they just keep showing.
It's for business. It's rooms not for home.
Rooms full of people in boardrooms pointing at it like, look at this.
Doodling.
Yeah. You know what? Screw that noise. Show a picture of me at home on the couch with this on my lap.
Well, you would not want that because you could buy something so much more cheaper.
Yeah, but I want all the resolutions.
You want all the jam?
And I want to be able to draw on it with my finger.
Well,
or
you
a stylus.
Can do that. You can do that for other ones.
It's a 55-inch ultra-high definition. That's the 4Ks. Capable of recognizing the difference between when someone is writing on it with a stylus or touching it with a finger.
But it really is for business, mostly.
Yeah. Okay.
Like business, if you work at a job where they want you to, I don't know, it's still trying to be modern enough, cool enough of a workspace.
Yeah, look at this. It's got, do you see the nice mount that it has?
Actually, the mount for the screen is super nice. It's even got a little station where you can put your mouse and your other products.
Mm-hmm. And four casters. That's what they call those little wheels, but casters. Dude, I'm in. Let's get one. We need one here. In fact, actually, if we just want to, I have often wanted just a whiteboard in my office because I like to write things down like that. I'll just go ahead and get this instead.
Now, okay, I'm sorry to bring this up, and this is like the party pooper out of the group.
I just want to say that today in the show, you were the first person to say poop.
I know. There. That's why, more recently, we've had several stories concerning that subject. But if you want a whiteboard, which is basically just the thing you can mark on and then you race over and over again. The price difference between that at like $9 mm-hmm. compared to this at almost $6,000. For your office, we might just get the traditional whiteboard.
I know, guys. Let's get Obadiah something that's not as good.
Not a Jamboard.
He can be happy with less.
Let's see. No. Now, we're not going to leave you there,
Let's go ahead and communicate what he's worth to him with the things we put in his office.
And you won't be able to work, you know, as productively. I understand that. You could use the Jamboard, but it is so expensive. Why don't we make sure you use it by having the whiteboard first?
Oh, don't worry. I'll use it.
Well, just to make sure.
Because what I need is, I need something else in my office to make like noise and stuff.
So, well, how awesome would it be if you then just roll this guy around with you
everywhere.
The entire day?
All day. So like I come to see you, I just roll it with me. Like, what's this? This is my Jamboard. I actually won't be talking to you. I'll be typing on this laptop and my responses will show up on this Jamboard.
And if you could, when meeting with you, we would also have to be using the Jamboard as well.
No, it's mine.
well, that's how we communicate with you.
I mean, yes, you can send messages to me and then read my responses.
It's impressive,
on the board.
But boy, it is not for anything we do.
I know, but if you wind the clock back, though, and think about this, some people are paying $5,000, and even now, but a few years ago, paying $5,000 for a TV. So this now allows me to jam on their Jamboard, and I can use my finger to write all over it. $5,000 and it's 55 inches.
You even have to pay $600 just for a management and support fee for it each year.
Oh, no, we're not doing that.
And it supports up to 16 touchpads.
I'm supposed to pay for your tech support, which we all know is going to suck anyway. It's just going to be me clicking through an FAQ.
Yeah, that's it.
It's the Ryan.
I really didn't like it. It just bothered me.
Radio U.
Nikki, do you follow Hudson on Twitter?
You know what? I don't follow really anybody except you, so I don't think I do. I should change that, shouldn't I?
Well, all I know is that yesterday he tweeted something that at first I thought he was tweeting about you, but I looked closely.
And it wasn't
and I could
me?
Tell, yeah. He tweeted a photo from the bathrooms here at Radio U.
Yeah.
And it was a picture of the toilet.
Yeah.
Okay. And in that picture, you can see an empty roll of toilet paper on the roll. And then you can see a roll that is obviously getting used sitting on the counter.
Sure.
So rather than replacing the roll of toilet paper in the actual, you know, rolling mechanism on the wall.
Then you just leave it out.
You just leave toilet paper out on the side. And he said, his quote from the tweet was, I work with animals. And I looked at that and I was like, that looks like exactly what Nikki would do.
But that's not the women's bathroom. That's your guys' bathroom.
It's not. You'll notice so how small there. It is. For the women's bathroom, in order to take a photo from the sink to the toilet, you would need like a zoom lens and very careful spacing.
It's not quite that large, but yeah, this one's your guys', so that's not us.
Yeah. So I don't know who was unwilling to put the toilet paper roll on the roll, but Nikki,
I'll live up to it. At home, I do that.
Yeah.
You
have a kindred spirit here, and you mm-hmm. don't even know who it is.
Yep.
Like, I'll bet it's Josh. It's not Hudson, or this is, I was going to say it's not Hudson because he's calling somebody out, but this could be Hudson's perfect smokescreen.
I actually have to tell myself if there's toilet paper that's out, I'm just like, just change it. Otherwise, I could be perfectly fine with leaving it. I'll prop it on the old toilet paper roll. I don't know why. I don't like changing the toilet paper. That and vacuuming, I just hate. I hate it so much. And I know you're like, why don't you get one of those toilet paper rolls where you just slide it on?
Yeah.
And that would be
even
fine.
Even that's too much.
Well, I only noticed that, you know, it's attached to the wall, so it has like two screws on mine. But most of the time, the one that just has the slide on is like one screw.
And that's not okay. You don't see the screw. It has a cover.
No, I mean, then I'd have to, like, it's a smaller thing on the wall. So then I'd have to putty and paint and touch up around it. Like, I feel like you would see
not
more, like, holes and stuff.
Than
the one that's up there now.
I don't think that's right.
You don't?
Well, I mean, if you're replacing one, then yes, that's correct. But it's fine. It's fine. What I don't understand is, like, Nikki is meticulous about everything.
I have, this is my flaw.
About everything.
I hate this.
And Nikki just, like,
I hate it.
She can't replace the toilet paper.
I do.
Roll.
I do. I change it more than you think I do.
I don't think you do.
I just hate doing it.
I think you go into, you probably have at least, what, two bathrooms in your house. I think you walk into a bathroom, check the toilet paper amount, and then you're like, you know what, I'm going to go into a different one.
Yeah, until someone fills the other one up.
Because, like, Eric will get this later. That's what I think happens.
Nope, I hate it.
Yeah, so that... Are you sure?
That's not me. I've never been in. I don't want to go into your guys' bathrooms here.
See, I think we might be seeing another smoke screen here because Nikki always throws this, not really a big fit, but if you're a guy and you go in the girls' room, Nikki notices she has a chart in her office.
I do not have a chart, but when I try to go use the girls'
restroom. It's an Excel spreadsheet, okay?
It's a Google Doc. And then I want to use the restroom if the door's shut and there's no other girls here. Who's using the girls' bathroom then?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. Someone. So what I think you're trying to do is, in reality, you're trying to enact your revenge by constantly using the guy's bathroom.
Do you think that's the guy's bathroom upstairs here?
No, it's the downstairs one.
Oh, yeah. I'm not touching that one.
Yeah, why not?
I've heard horror stories.
It can get pretty dark in there. And I don't mean the lights are dim.
Especially after tours or bands.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I can't tell you now. Off air, maybe.
The Riot.
They hate me. They hate you. They hate us.
Why else would they make us listen to the worst of The Riot? Radio U.
On the phone, a busy man, so let's get to it.
Right to it, right?
Mr. John Cooper of Skillet. Good morning,
good
sir.
Good morning, John Cooper. How are you doing?
Good. So great to talk to both of you guys. How are you?
We're doing very good, thank you. It's been a few years.
I know. I miss you. I love chatting with you guys.
Well, we are the premier Skillet talkers, so...
Is that our title? I did not know this.
John, forget about the van. Forget about the stuff. Let's just jump right into the important stuff. Like, where are you at on comic books today? Are you reading anything? Are you watching anything?
The important stuff?
You know, well, to be 100% honest, I'm not reading comics like I used to.
Okay.
And not because I don't like them. I'm just... found my life to become so complicated and busy.
Yeah.
And good. It's good stuff, but I don't have the time that I used to. But I do keep up with the Netflix Marvel stuff and of course the films, you know. I mean, is it okay if I just keep plugging Marvel? Rule the world.
They appreciate that, yes.
Well, you know what, dude, I just wanted to ask because you and I have had comic book conversations in the past. And unlike you, I don't have anything...
That didn't get you anywhere.
I don't have anything good going on, so I wanted to see, you know, if you were still reading or not, so...
Well, you know what? The world has finally caught up to how cool we are for having comics for our whole lives.
Preach, bro. Preach. Come on. That's
what
I'm talking
about.
This is what it means to be a trailblazer, brother. I'm telling you.
Yeah, but you guys led the way, and you were steadfast with it, and now you finally come out on the other side.
That's right. That's right. Recognizing our genius at last. So, John, how are things with Skillet? What have you been up to?
Dude, I literally am on top of the world. I'm not even joking, man. I have had a great, great couple of years. We released the new record, which is called Unleashed. Came out last summer in August. And honestly, had such a fun time making the record. And that's all going into why we called the record Unleashed. It was a little bit like, you know what? I'm not making an album for the label.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing what they want me to do. I'm doing what I want to do and what I think the fans want. And because of that, we had a lot of fun. And
of course,
and touring is going really great. And God is just widening all these awesome opportunities. You know, like in the next, let's see, 3 or 4 months. You know, Skillet will have played with, I'm going to list this out, Lauren Daigle for King & Country, Casting Crowns, Metallica, Korn. You know, it's like...
It's a wide list, isn't it?
it's laughable. It's so stinking hilarious. I love it. I can't get enough because... I just think it's really almost funny what God has done, and I'm excited about it. I love it because I love all these people on the Christian side, and Lauren Daigle and my wife Corey are, you know, friends, and I'm good friends with Joel and from Smallbone, and I don't know. It's just great to be able to do these things, and then I get to see my friends in Korn and that side of the world, mm-hmm. and be a light, you know, be a light in the darkness. It's absolutely amazing what God has allowed us to do.
John Cooper from Skillet.
They are going to be at Spirit Song, which is the big reminder for Skillet, Red, and More, and that's June 22nd through the 24th.
So, John, if I come and see you at Spirit Song, what are you doing for a workout lately? I saw you tweeting about Insanity, because every time I see you, you're soaking wet because you've been working out. So, I'm not kidding. How many interviews have I done face-to-face with John Cooper, and he's just got done working out? So,
what if he just sweats a lot, and he just doesn't want to be embarrassed? And
I just have a problem over
Yeah,
that.
I'm
like the guy that would be, like, pushing through the crowd to touch the hem of Jesus as he walked, because I have a sweating issue.
Well, you know what, John? You and I had conversations before the interviews in which you mentioned that you've been working out, so either you're a liar or you're suffering. Now, which one is it?
Not a liar, embarrassed, okay? Embarrassed leads us to do things that we're ashamed of.
No, you're not a liar. I do love working out. If I worked out this hard, if I was 20 and worked out like I do now, I would be shredded. But you know what? When you turn 29 like I am.
Right.
It all goes harder. Downhill, right? At 29.
It gets a little bit harder.
I'm sure.
But I love working out. And truthfully, half the reason you always see me working out is because I love the sun. I'm from Memphis. And so I love that really humid weather. And whenever it's hot, I feel like I'm supposed to be playing sports. And it's
right.
Like my favorite time of year. Go outside and sweat and run around. So. Yeah, I love summertime. Summertime festivals is hands down my favorite time of the year. I love being outside, playing shows outside at like the fairs, like when we come see a Spirit Song. It's such a great family atmosphere, and everybody's happy, and everybody's kids are there, and the families are there, and you're eating funnel cakes, and then you're working out because you ate funnel cake. It's just awesome.
And then you're back to sweating because you're outdoors, and you have the funnel cake, so it's a circle.
It's bad.
John, it's been really great talking to you, man, and it's been a while, but it's good to keep touch, man. I'm glad you're still out there making it happen.
Oh, I'm glad to talk to you guys, too, and I'm so glad that you're both still at Radio U. You guys, how long have you guys been at Radio U?
Oh, long enough for many workouts as well, just as many workouts.
I love it. It's so cool that you guys are still doing your thing and playing great music and chatting with you. I really love it. It's nostalgic and it's awesome. And a huge thank you to all the fans for listening to Radio U, who is one of the only stations in the nation full-time playing awesome, awesome music. So thank you guys. And thanks for the fans out there. And come see us, Spirit Song. We're going to have lots of fun and lots of rock and roll.
You're listening to the worst of the riot.
Today sucks.
Radio U.
Now, I'm about to tell you a story about something that happened. Where the heck did it happen? I don't know. Something, whatever. Coon Rapids. And it's a suburb of Minneapolis, I believe. And you're gonna jump to conclusions and you're gonna judge people.
But here's something. To wait?
Right. Well, what I'm saying is I want you to get all the facts of the case. And all right, I want you to know that part of me identifies with some of the people in this story because I live in a small town.
But you're right on the line of a big town.
I am.
So that's the difference.
That's right. Like, I'm in a suburb, all right? And we have a Wendy's and a McDonald's and a Taco Bell and a KFC and a Subway, which, I mean, honestly, I can't believe that hasn't closed, but it's there. Whatever. So... and in the last four or five days, I have listened to what I can only describe as the proletariat, you know, planning to overthrow the bourgeois, as I listen to the workers talk about forming the workers' party in the drive-thrus at these places. In the meantime, I can't get my food.
He's mentioned how, you know, he's driven up several times, and while waiting on food because of problems, they've left the windows open, and you can just hear through the drive-thru.
They're in the restaurant complaining about management, and I'm like, screw management, can I get some french fries
can
over here?
Can I get my food?
Like, I'm a worker too, okay? I'm just here to get my dinner.
What, does this house happen somewhere else? Or?
Okay, now, with that context, where we've all been there, but I've also worked, it's fine. We've got a woman here. Her name is, she has four names? I'm going to go with
Chanel.
That's
when she knows she's really trouble.
I'm going with Chanel. Like, that's one of the four names, all right? Chanel pulls up to Wendy's in their drive-thru last Thursday afternoon. And she makes a request of the lady at the window. And she's like, look, I don't care, whatever. I want fresh French fries.
Okay, so she wants them to throw in a...
I want fresh fries. I don't want any of this. Fries been waiting around all day for me. I want a fresh order of fries. And apparently the employee at the window, who feels like management has been sabotaging them the whole time anyway, is not up for putting fresh fries in the fryer. Tells her she'll get what she'll get and she won't throw a fit. Okay? And that was
I have a feeling maybe she did throw a fit.
Well, she did. She tried to climb in the window, which, again, I think maybe she was just trying to get in a position to better talk face-to-face. Okay? So she didn't manage to get in through the window. And at that point, a manager did feel like they should get involved.
Well, now one came up.
You know, like, hey, boss, she's trying to climb in the window again. So comes over. She gets back in her car, and the... manager kind of leans out to talk to her and then gets mace in the face.
So wait, the manager got mace from her or she got it?
The girl in the car, she got back in her car, not because she was calming down. She was getting back in her car to get pepper spray out. So she,
poor guy.
And hey, just to be clear, once you've jumped to the pepper spray, you're never getting those fries.
Well, now
you're never getting them.
Now, you know, I would have thought, well, maybe if it was a nice manager, he would have just let the lady drive on through and been like, that was a mistake, but don't do it again. But now that mace is involved.
Well, I just think, you know, again, the idea of thinking through your actions, like the manager, as you know, is coughing, is having a hard time breathing and can't see out of their eyes, is like, hey, can somebody drop some fresh fries? Eyes and call the police.
Well, still the worst though. Who's the person behind that car?
What? Oh,
you've ordered already.
You're just waiting.
You're
just like, man, I'll take.
You're never getting your food, and there's mace just floating around the spray.
The only thing I can hope, if you're the car behind the mace lady, is that you didn't. Okay, you know how there's a gap between the first window and the second window?
Yes.
And so, like, you pay for your food, and you pull up, and that lady's the one in front of you.
And because, you're stuck there.
Yep, because they have your money, but you're definitely not getting any food. That's the real victim in this story.
Well, they will once the police come, and things are cleaned up, and people are arrested, which will take some time.
Well, just to let you know that she's been charged with a felony. And she faces a maximum of 5 years in prison and $10,000 in fines.
And no more fast food. She's not allowed.
Well, you're definitely not getting fresh fries.
Ever wonder what Nikki is doing when she isn't rioting? Find her Twitter feed at riot.radiou.com. Obadiah is there too, but who cares what he's doing?
You know, Nikki, we've been talking a really big talk around here. Around these pots.
About?
Guns, but we still don't have any.
Well, my plan is Eric can get one for the sale because there's these two guns that are on sale that Eric wants.
Yeah.
You just have to go and do it.
Yeah, see, I'm not good at that part.
That's the part, well, it's more fun, I think, to look and pick which one you want or then, like, you have one and going out and using it, but I just can't, like, pull the trigger with it. I mean, that's why that's maybe there from in the past. You could not make your gun choice, and therefore, that's where that phrase came from.
All right, I can't decide either. I think we found a deal on an M&P Shield that is really great, and... here's the other thing it comes down to. I just want to let you know, like, I can't be a gun guy. Like, I can't.
Well, no. When we're not going to become that. We're just getting this for safety.
I want it for fun.
Well, I was going to get to that word. I like to put safety first.
All right. Yeah, because, I mean.
Safety, home safety, and then target practicing.
I mean, I feel a little weird saying. I get what you're saying, but when I tell people, like, I'm bringing a lethal weapon home for safety. It's like,
are you buying the Blu-ray?
That makes sense.
The movie?
Okay. But I think going target shooting sounds like a freaking blast.
Sure.
Like, a blast.
See, I mean, you can't help.
You can't get away from it.
All of those phrases came from back in the old days.
Must be.
At the range.
I think it sounds like a ton of fun. And yes, Mike, that's exactly what we're talking about.
That's where we've been looking at.
But
The only thing, the other thing I can't figure out is like, if I get it, you know, like, will I really go to the range?
I don't know.
You can always shoot.
Well, can you resell it?
Well, I don't know, can you? I don't. Okay, that's something I really don't want to get involved in.
I was just meaning if you don't use it. But you're right. I'm just going to lock it then.
It's like, one thing I'm not doing is going Craigslist gun sale.
No, thanks. You're right. That is not being safe.
I'm out on that. Don't want anything to do with it.
I really want to learn how to use it. So my pressure is that whenever I pick which gun I would like to be able to conceal and carry,
yeah,
or just to have at home for safety, I have to take the class. Like, I have to learn about how to use the thing so I don't feel so intimidated by it.
I know. Well, okay. You know what? I know how to use one. I'm still intimidated by them. Mm-hmm. Something's blowing up in your hand.
Well, I'm not.
That's weird.
I'm not just intimidated by the gun. I am very intimidated by the people around who have guns.
Yeah.
Because of
just
because
there's all those guns there?
There's so much. Like, when you go to the shooting center, there's so much. Everybody there's carrying. Everybody's there knows what. Well, it puts on the appearance that they know what they're doing. And I couldn't even remember how to load it. So I need the class.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to do it, but I'm very,
just think it, make it work related. If you tie it into work, if we film it for YouTube, actually, then we'll do it. Otherwise we can't do these things.
You're absolutely right. If we made it work related,
we would totally be already carrying something and concealing.
I'd have like guns on the counter and a rifle over there on the wall.
Just be another
we'd
day.
Just be like, but if it's not work related, I'm like, well, I don't know.
I can look at it online till we're just tired of it, but we just can't complete it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't want to talk to the riot? We completely understand. Text instead. 877-2-RADIO-U.
Chuck E. Cheese, they get featured in the news a lot. Many times. Over and over again. And it's not for their delicious pizza. And it's not for their amazing array of games.
It's nothing like that.
Or the shockingly just, I lost it. A lot of prizes. They've got lots and lots of prizes there, Nikki, that you can get. That's not why they get featured in the news. They get featured in the news because they offer pictures of beer and then things happen. That's really what gets them in the
Goodness.
News. So Fairview Heights, Illinois, we've got a guy who was arrested because he was at Chuck E. Cheese celebrating a birthday. And I'm like, okay. How many people did he punch? Who's in the hospital? What's going on? And the answer to that is nothing right now. But he went to celebrate, was it his son's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
He was so excited. He was in the parking lot. He pulled his gun out, fired several shots into the air, and then he spun out. Woo! Boom, boom, boom!
Well, that's not how you celebrate.
Yeah. A couple of things. First off, if you didn't know, when you shoot a gun up, it comes back down.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes back down fast. Enough to kill people. In fact, it happens. So that's dumb. Second, what are you doing? That's just what are you doing? I mean, is this a Western? Is that what it is? You pull out your six shooter and...
Not even that. I mean, you're at Chuck E. Cheese. Not even that.
You know, like... What? So you're just saying, why did you even go to Chuck E. Cheese?
Well, no, it's not. No, like, why is the combination? Like, why do you have your gun with you? Why are you at Chuck E. Cheese?
Why do you have your gun at Chuck E. Cheese?
Why are you doing the spin-out things with your car? Like, why are you doing all of that?
Okay, just between you and me, though. Uh-huh. Like, while I'm somebody that's not really interested in carrying a gun, I don't think, but... I mean, like, I would totally carry a Chuck E. Cheese.
Well, that's a safety issue, but I don't think you're allowed bringing them in.
Well, they can say that all they want, but I'm just telling you right now, if you're going into Chuck E. Cheese, you have to be ready to throw
so
down.
So maybe this is the guy, like a peacock shows its feathers. This person is showing all that he has to offer on safety and craziness. He's got the car, he's doing that, he's letting everybody know before he gets into Chuck E. Cheese, don't mess with them.
Here's another thing. That I want you to think about, Nikki, and that is maybe this is an example of what not to do.
Sure.
You know?
Well, no, I think it is.
So, like, but what if that's it? What if he is saying to his son, like, all right, son, you might find yourself...
Oh, you're leading by example.
...at Chuck E. Cheese, mm-hmm. having a really good time, and, you know, you've got your gun with you, and you think to yourself...
Good question.
Hey, I'm going to go ahead and shoot my gun up into the air and then drive off. Now, son, I'm going to show you what that looks like. and how ridiculous it is and how you shouldn't do that.
Well, we all teach in different ways. So
watch closely and never do this.
Okay. Maybe that's it.
Could be it. So, I mean, they made a memory. And the good news is he's got 2 counts of aggravated unlawful use of a weapon, and he's being held on $25,000 bond. So the bad example continues, but I think we're all learning.
The teaching never stops.
Never stops.
The worst of the riot is over, but the fun can keep going.
Hey, I saw you checking out my goods.
Check the Riot blog or stalk us on social media.
You want to sample them? A little try before you buy, huh?
Through riot.radiou.com.
You were the first person to say poop.
I know.